This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
Sam Adams has brewed signature beers in the heart of Boston since 1984. So who better to try out our new Jacko Pumpkin Boston Ale than real Bostonians?
You know, it's got that great Sam Adams taste, but the pumpkin flavor really kicks it up a notch.
I love Sam Oktoberfest, but I think this might even be better.
Jesus Christ. What the f*** is that?
I'm not really a beer drinker, but this might change that.
This is the kind of beer somebody brings to a party at your house, and then it just, like, sits in the fridge for, like, 8 months. And then one day your buddy comes over, and he's like, hey, you got a beer? And I'm like, well, you know, I got this pumpkin.
So you drink it, and it, you know, gets you buzzed.
Oh, come on.
I'm coming.
You've been sitting there for half an hour, and I'm
enjoying myself. You know, you're just like your mother.
Oh, there you go.
You guys should sell this year-round. Seriously, it's
sorry,
so...
Sorry. Just grabbing one more. Oh. Whoa. Launch ya.
Sam Adams, Jacko Pumpkin Ale. Real Bostonians agree.
It's a win.
You know, it's kind of sweet and but, you know, there's nothing else to drink.
Oh, you guys called it pot?
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. We've got an IPA show for you tonight. It's been a couple of months since we had one of these. And tonight's program features the three-way IPA from Fort George Brewing in Astoria, Oregon. We have two beers from Other Half Brewing Company in Brooklyn, New York, two double dry hopped IPAs, and we'll finish it out with a hazy IPA from Two Toms Brewing Company in Indiana. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dal. How are you?
Pretty darn good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Enjoying drinking a lot of beer lately.
Still drinking some of those Oktoberfest beers from the last show?
Yeah, I mean, with the Oktoberfest beers, I think I bought a six-pack of every one of them, and then I even went back and bought an additional six-pack of the Sierra Nevada and the Keller beer from Weinstephaner. So I've been drinking a lot of those. But I, you know, something interesting that I picked up from Tavor, I bought this pack of beers called Fresh Fest, which is, it's a beer festival. It's the first black-owned beer festival, and Tavor had a, you know, deal where you got, I don't know, I think six or eight beers that were put together for that festival. The festival was in like August, and every single one of them was a collaboration. I think it's based out of Pittsburgh originally. And so there's collaborations with Pittsburgh breweries and some, you know, nearby breweries from other cities and states. But I've had a lot of excellent beers from that Fresh Fest, and you know, it's really good. I put a couple of them up on the website lately as Beer of the Day. Probably got a few more coming soon, but I've been drinking a lot of those. They've been, you know, really tasty.
Nice. Yeah, same thing with me, because I bought a bunch of six packs for the last show, and I've been just going in and grabbing Oktoberfest beers. You know, a couple nights a week, I'll have a couple of different ones, and usually I'll grab two of the same kind and pour it into my little stein, and it's been basically Oktoberfest throughout the whole few weeks that we've had since the last show. Mixing in a couple IPAs, but a lot of those Oktoberfest beers, and they're really good. They're just easy to drink. They're not too overly alcoholic, and you can, you know, have a big old beer with two beers in it, and it's really tasty.
Yeah. I said it on the last show, it's my favorite seasonal beer. And, you know, with the Oktoberfest beers, you can sit down and have six of them and not feel it the next day, but I can't really sit down and have six double IPAs anymore. So
no,
Oktoberfest beers are good for that.
They are. Yeah. If you want to drink several beers, then you can have a couple of them and still be good the next day. Not be paying the penalty. I'm getting down to the bottom of the barrel, though. Like, I starting having to dig in that refrigerator to try and find the good ones. And we're down to just a few that I wasn't the biggest fan of. But I did come across the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest hidden behind some other ones last night. So I had that one.
Nice. Yeah. After the show, I picked up a six-pack from Bell's in Michigan, and that was pretty tasty. It was, you know, different from the other ones we had. But I featured that as beer of the day one day. But it's getting to that point of the year where if there's still some out there, they're not super fresh, but I don't think it's a style that, you know, it's not like an IPA where you really need to have it like, you know, 30, 60 days from the, you know, from the date it was canned or bottled. So if you still see Oktoberfest out there, Oktoberfest beers, they're still good. They'll probably be good for another, you know, month or so.
Yeah, so you say 60 days, and let's get into the first beer, because this is from Fort George Brewery in Astoria, Oregon, and I checked the bottom of the can, and it says 8/12/2020. So it is just under 60 days, right?
Yep.
And it says, well, that was fun.
I have my Fort George glass here that I picked up at the brewery when I went there last year.
Oh, you went to the brewery. I forgot about that.
I did. Last year, Nicole and I did a road trip where we drove the entire, you know, Highway 101 from the northernmost point in Oregon to the southernmost point and went to a bunch of breweries along the way. But it starts really in Astoria. It's the northernmost point of Oregon.
Well, Astoria is an interesting place because it's the oldest city in Oregon, and it's the oldest American settlement west of the Rockies. So that's where Lewis and Clark ended their journey, and they hit the Pacific, and they built a fort there to survive that winter. And then they were hoping for a ship to come and pick them up there, but they didn't happen, so they had to hike back east again.
It was a pretty cool town. You know, it's kind of like a fishing village, like a seaport, and it's a small town, but it was pretty cool. It's right on the Columbia River. You know, you can look across the river to Washington, and it's where Goonies was filmed. So it's, you know, it's a cool like Pacific Northwest town. Probably not, you know, a ton to do there, but it's a, like I said, it's a fishing village with a really good brewery.
So this particular beer is kind of a yellow color, kind of a pale orange juice maybe color. It's a little bit yellow orange, and it is very, very opaque. It is consistently cloudy through the whole glass. It's just it's one exact color, and it's completely opaque. There's no light that gets through that because it is that hazy.
It's what I would call like turbid, or not quite, maybe a little bit murky. It's kind of like a dull, hazy color.
Yeah.
Pretty thick head, off-white, foamy head, at least like a finger and a half thick.
Yeah. Just off-white and very fluffy, really good-looking head. Very kind of consistent, small little bubbles.
Did we say what beer this was? I know we said it's Fort George, but it's the three-way IPA.
Three-way IPA.
The aroma's nice. I mean, for this being, you know, not super fresh for us, I like the aroma. It's very fruity, very juicy, but very, you know, very inviting for this style. And the three-way IPA, just some history on this. This is an annual thing that Fort George does. Every year they invite two other breweries. I think it changes each year which breweries they invite, but they invite two other breweries, so it's like a three-way collaboration to make this beer. I think it's supposed to be a summertime IPA, so it's probably at the very end of availability here, but it's an annual thing that they do, and there's a lot of people that really look forward to this beer coming out every year because it's different. The recipe is different every year. It's you know, collaboration with different breweries every year. It's just something special that this brewery does.
And it says, limited time special edition is a collaboration between Structures Brewing and Level Beer. And they have incorporated those two logos in the artwork on the can here in kind of a subtle way.
I think the taste is really juicy. I mean, it's not sweet, but it's juicy with a lot of like tropical fruit and citrus. I mean, it's kind of your standard hazy IPA, but I appreciate that it's still got these very fresh flavors given that this was canned 2 months ago.
Yeah, it does. It's very fresh tasting, and it's not sweet, which I like. You know, sometimes they get a little too tropical, a little too pineapple, and there becomes a little too much sweetness in it. This one has a fair amount of bitterness and also relies on some of those sour citrus notes also.
Yeah, I think I get definitely some citrus, some mango, maybe papaya. But you brought up a good point that I didn't think of initially, is there's some bitterness, almost like a piney bitterness, that I think is very fitting for a beer from Pacific Northwest that tends to be known for, you know, somewhat bitter, piney IPAs.
Right. And it definitely does have that piney type of hops and also kind of a grapefruit bitterness also. So I read an article last week about kind of how hybrids between the Northeast hazy and the West Coast beers don't really get a whole lot of fanfare, but it's really a good style when you kind of can mix the hazy with the bitterness. And I think this beer kind of fits into that category.
Yeah, that's true. We've had a few of those. I mean, we tend to find some beers that mix the elements of the two. Because, you know, we didn't mention this yet, but like the malt profile on this, it's very soft mouthfeel, like flaked. Now, I'm sure there's oats and maybe some wheat in here, but it's got that malt profile that you expect from a East Coast, you know, Northeast IPA, but the, you know, kind of pleasant bitterness that you want from a West Coast style IPA.
Yeah. And other thing I like about this one is that the aftertaste is pretty long. It lingers for a long time, and it's kind of a very slow decrescendo where, you know, initially you can tell that the aftertaste lasts quite a while, but then even now, it's been 30 seconds since I had a sip, and I'm still kind of can taste it on my tongue. So it really kind of coats the tongue and sticks around for, the flavor really sticks around for a long time.
Yeah. And I like, this is 7.2%. This is actually the strongest beer we're going to have tonight in terms of alcohol percentage. But every beer we're going to have is more or less, you know, in a similar range. But it's 7.2%, not boozy by any means. You know, I think I've had this every year, at least for the last 3, maybe 4 years. And it's good. It's always enjoyable. I like the flavor. It's a very solid IPA.
I like it a lot. Big fan of this one. And pretty much anything I've had from Fort George, I've liked. So definitely a good brewery. And I'm going to have to visit them too at some point, because that sounds like a pretty cool place. And now the beer news of the day. Well, the news story that I had, and you know, sometimes you try to look for the positive news in COVID and during the pandemic, and I've seen more and more news stories of breweries closing, and you know, I think you can make it a few months or 6 months, you know, but as this thing has continued to push on longer and longer, I think it becomes harder and harder for some breweries. So one of the good things I saw from Jeff's neck of the woods in LA County, they have cleared breweries and wineries to open in LA County if they partner with a food provider. So the process of reopening the local economy amid coronavirus moved slightly forward Tuesday, with Los Angeles County clearing the way for breweries and wineries without in-house kitchens to offer outdoor service in partnership with a third-party food vendor. The reopening comes with similar restrictions to those in effect for restaurants, most notably the requirement that alcohol be purchased in the same transaction as bona fide meals. So you have to have a food truck on the premises, and if they bundle the beer with the food truck transaction, then they're able to open and for outdoor service. So, I mean, great that they can do it, that they have an option. I'm not really sure why they are insisting that, you know, this convoluted partnership that they're, you know, requiring seems odd to me. I don't know if it's them trying to also allow more business to the food vendor as well. Maybe they're trying to give us a shot to the arm for two businesses in one, or if this is just some outdated, convoluted type of antiquated law that they are hearkening back to. I'm not exactly sure the reason, but I guess it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, it's great that these breweries can reopen, because I think a lot of the breweries were probably weeks away from going out of business. I mean, in LA County, you could only go to a brewery and pick up beer and take it to go. And that was different from most other counties in California. And so this got approved, so LA County breweries could reopen, which is great. It has to be outdoor. It's, you know, a big help to kind of keep these breweries in business. But the fact that they have to have a food provider is a little odd. I don't understand what that has to do with COVID, because this restriction was in place because of COVID. I don't know how, you know, providing food changes anything. It reminds me of like the laws in Utah when I went to Salt Lake City, where you had to get food in order to have a beer. It was just, for whatever reason, it was, you know, they wanted to make that requirement so you couldn't get too drunk, I guess.
I think that maybe restaurants and breweries are in different categories. Like, restaurants are higher up the food chain, the no pun intended food chain, than breweries, as far as like being essential or being something people need. So they say, okay, we allow restaurants to open it for outdoors, but not breweries. But now they allow, okay, breweries, you can sneak in if you also serve food, because you're kind of like a restaurant. It's like they're sidestepping some regulation that they put in place themselves. So it seems very strange.
It's like a compromise. They can, maybe they're treating it like a food provider that also serves alcohol to get around.
That's what they're doing, yeah.
But it's good. I mean, it's nice to see these breweries being able to reopen. And I know every single LA brewery that I frequent was very relieved that this got passed, because it was not looking good for a lot of them, you know, not being able to serve. You know, we talk about this a lot. Like, a lot of people, you know, go to local breweries for that, you know, the relationships you establish and the camaraderie and the, you know, hanging out with the locals. And if you don't have that, it's hard for a lot of these places to stay in business, because it's just, you know, I think people are drinking a lot during COVID, but you know, not everybody's going to breweries, and a lot of these places really depend on the in-person sit down, having a beer to stay in business.
Sure. I mean, a lot of them don't have the distribution channel to be able to do that. Their whole business was based on people coming to their brewery, sitting down at a picnic table and, you know, having a couple beers on a Saturday afternoon. And that's hasn't been happening for many, many months. So good news. All right, let's get into the second beer. This is from Other Half Brewing Company in Brooklyn, New York. This is the double dry hopped Altogether IPA, 6.5%. And Altogether is, it says right on the can, a worldwide collaboration brewed to support hospitality professionals. So these same people that work in restaurants, bars, breweries, many, many people have been laid off during COVID when restaurants weren't allowed to be open for several months, delivery only, that type of thing. The number of jobs and bars in many places still are not open. So with many people being laid off, this beer is brewed to support those people in that industry. Definitely a
commendable cause here, and we've seen several beers lately brewed, you know, for different causes. And like I said before, it's you know, it's good that you can put something out and you can enjoy the beer and also support, you know, the cause that they're trying to promote.
And I think what's really good about this beer is, you know, I've been seeing this beer for months on Instagram and various social media platforms. There's like 900 some breweries that participated and made this beer. But what I wanted to really do for tonight was to get the sort of original. And this is, you know, from Other Half in Brooklyn, as you mentioned. They were really one of the breweries that really started this initiative. And so we're really having like the original, whereas 900 some breweries have also replicated this beer and sold it in their local markets. We got our hands on the New York brewery that really started this.
So this one pours a beer that's very similar looking to the last one. It's cloudy, the same kind of a pale yellow, and maybe not as orange as the last one, but almost the same, kind of a golden yellow, but it has that opaque quality to it. I think this one is maybe lets a little bit of light through, whereas the last one didn't really. This one even has a thicker head than the last one. This is a kind of a very foamy sea foam type of head that is three fingers, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. This is a really thick head on this beer.
Yeah, it has a little bit less aroma. There's a little bit of citrus in the aroma, but it's not nearly as strong as the three-way IPA.
I get a little tropical fruit too on the aroma, but you're right, it is reserved.
Yeah, a little bit. On the taste, I get quite a bit of citrus, some like lemon, tangerine, orange, citrus, a little bit of tropical fruit, but mostly citrus. It's fresh, like zesty, very, very bright flavor.
Very bright flavor, a little bit sweeter than the previous beer, not overly sweet, but this one doesn't have the big bitterness that kind of sits on the tongue. This is more of a lighter, sweeter type of beer, but still very well balanced.
Yeah, super drinkable. I mean, the mouthfeel on this is really like light. I feel like for an IPA, I could probably drink a lot of these.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the malts are soft, probably some oat and wheat, like a lot of the hazy IPAs. But it's really like delicate mouthfeel, like very, very light. Like I said, I could drink a 4-pack of this, which I'm assuming it comes in if you pick it up at the brewery. But this is easy drinking, but still really good flavor for a 6.5% IPA. It's double dry hopped, which I feel like most IPAs these days are double dry hopped. They should just start calling them double dry hopped instead of IPAs. But it's smooth, easy drinking, good flavor.
This one you can just drink all day long, and there's nothing offensive about the flavor. It's not heavy. It's kind of a lighter beer, but just great flavor. A lot of different competing flavors, so it's still complex, but it's not overwhelming. It's very drinkable. I think a lot of people that are not IPA fans would be able to drink this beer, and it would be perfectly acceptable to them.
Yeah, I think it's simple but good. I was reading, like, as this beer was being produced by other breweries around the country and probably the world, that, you know, they wanted to make a recipe that was fairly simple, that it could be easily created by all these other breweries. But it's just, you know, sometimes simplicity is best, and it's good for what it is, and it's a solid, you know, kind of Northeast style IPA.
Right. I think the first one, the Fort George, was an IPA fans beer, an IPA drinkers IPA. So to enjoy that one, you probably have to be a fan of the style. I feel like if I gave my mom that first one, she wouldn't like it. But if I gave my mom the second one, the altogether, maybe it's not her favorite style, but she would be able to enjoy it as it is.
Yeah. I think something, you know, we sort of touch on this, but this, I find a lot of like pale ales that drink like an IPA, and also IPAs that drink like a pale ale. And this is kind of right on that border. It is a very light IPA. In a blind taste test, I might even think this was a really hoppy pale ale. But it's just got that body and mouthfeel that's light and enjoyable, but could be perceived as a hoppy pale ale.
Right. It's on the borderline. At 6.5%, it's like you might find a pale ale that's that high. So it definitely could go. If you had called it a pale ale, I wouldn't have balked at it. But it definitely has enough hops to be considered an IPA.
Yep. Pretty good.
All right. So for our next beer, we have another double dry hopped IPA from Other Half Brewing Company, Brooklyn, New York. This is called Green City. And this one comes in a very sleek looking can, silver can with a black label on it. And you can see a green New York City skyline with the Empire State Building on there. Good looking can.
You know, I'm really glad we got these Other Half beers, because Other Half is a very, like, you know, popular, noteworthy East Coast brewery, and you can't get this in California. And we got these through Tavor, which has been great for us in terms of getting beer from other parts of the country. But Other Half is really like one of the big time East Coast, especially New York area breweries. And so it's nice to be having these, because they make really good beers that we can't really get in California very often.
I'm noticing a theme on these beers as far as what they look like. This one really looks like the previous one.
Exactly the same.
Maybe the head is a little less on it, but maybe I didn't pour as vigorously.
I get a really foamy head on this one. Pure white, like super, super white head with a lot of lacing on the glass. But yeah, the color of these, it's hazy, golden yellow. Looks exactly, all three of these beers are very similar in color.
So this is 0.5% higher than the previous one. We go from 6.5 to 7. And to me, the aroma takes a little bit of a notch up. Like there's a little more, it's the same type of aroma, the kind of tropical citrus type aroma, but this one seems to be a little more prevalent.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little bit more inviting in the aroma. And both of these were canned within a few days of each other, so they're equal in terms of freshness, but this one definitely has more aroma. Oh, the taste is excellent. It's fruity and juicy, but it's not sweet. It's I get a lot of melon flavors, a little bit of tropical fruit, a little bit of citrus, but I get melon. Like, I really like the flavor on this.
I'm trying to pick what kind of melon. Maybe it's a little bit of watermelon and a little bit of cantaloupe or something.
Yeah, I get cantaloupe. Definitely. It's, oh, that's good.
Yeah, this is like a full-bodied beer. Like, where I said the last one was, you know, very drinkable, light, refreshing. This one is a little more full flavor than the last one, where there's a full spectrum of flavors that hit you all at once. And but nothing off-putting at all. Very good. I get a little Mosaic hops in here, which I love. And I don't know if that's what they are using, but the hop profile here is it's interesting. It's I'm sure it's a blend of many different things, and it's well done, so that nothing particularly stands out as far as the hops go, but you do get like a full, my hop palate is you know, filled with this.
Yeah. I don't think it says on the can. At least I'm not seeing it. I think Mosaic is a very good guess. I would guess some Simcoe and Citra, but that, you know, those are all pretty common these days. But those are, like, you know, some of the best hops for this style, for sure. This also is double dry hop, just like the last beer. I love this flavor profile. It's got a creamy, soft, you know, malt backbone, and then just lots of hops, lots of flavor. It's extremely smooth. It's not the beer I would drink all day long, like the Altogether IPA, but I think the flavor intensity is a little bit higher in this one.
Centennial, Citra, and Simcoe. So those are very West Coast, Sierra Nevada type hops, and maybe that's why when I take a sip of this, I feel like completely at home. That's got to be the reason why. It says those three hops and then oats for the malt. So
it's interesting. I would not have guessed Centennial. I mean, you're right. Centennial is a very Centennial has been around forever. It's like the classic IPA hop. I just would not have guessed that in this beer. I associate that with some pine and some bitterness, and maybe there's a little bit of bitterness in this beer, but not like a West Coast IPA for sure. I think the finish on this beer is exceptional. Like it's smooth. It lingers.
There's a little bit of sweetness in the aftertaste that kind of balances out the bitterness. So it has such a satisfying conclusion. It's such a very well balanced beer. This may be one of my favorite IPAs I've ever had. It's really, really good.
I agree. And like the carbonation on this, it's really smooth. Kind of dry, but it's just, I really get it in the finish, like this smooth carbonation that like lingers and it complements all the hop flavors. I'm blown away by this beer. I've had, a few other half beers, not like somebody who lives on the East Coast. I mean, I'm sure many people have had, a lot more other half beers, but it blows me away how tasty this is.
Yeah, the carbonation you mentioned, sometimes a beer is overly carbonated and it fizzles on the tongue and kind of interrupts the flavor, and maybe the carbonation can make the bad parts of beers a little less noticeable because it interferes with the flavor of it. This one just has enough carbonation to kind of give it that little bit of a zing, a little bit of a refreshingness, and then but it's not overwhelming. So just like between bitterness and sweetness, the carbonation is a fine line between being too flat, which happens a lot in these hazy type of beers, and overly carbonated, which isn't good either. So you want to find a balance. Everything about beer is about balance, and this one balances many different things extremely well.
And I think what I look for is carbonation that allows the bubbly, like tingly texture to accentuate the hop flavor. And I feel like the last couple of years, I haven't seen that a lot, especially with hazy IPAs, but this one definitely does. It really allows that carbonation to accentuate that hop flavor, where it just brings about a higher level of taste from those hops that you would not get if it didn't have that same carbonation.
Yep, completely agree. Very good beer.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. One that was interesting was on Sam Adams' Pumpkin Batch beer, which was a throwback beer to quite a while ago. And MJ Sheets on Facebook says, when beer varieties were in their heyday, seltzer anyone? He does the emoji. The seltzer thing is crazy right now. Everybody, it's the Claw, it's Truly, it's Corona's new seltzy thing. There's like everybody has a seltzer. I understand not wanting the carbs and something that's nice and light and drinkable, and the same reasons that we like Kolsch and those types of styles, even the Oktoberfest type of beers where it's a little lighter. And I think that the White Claw type of thing is exploding right now because of that. Everyone has to have one. And I don't think we're going to ever have a beer of the day where we're going to be drinking seltzer. So don't worry about that, MJ. But yeah, he brings up a good point. It's very, very popular right now. Another throwback beer we had was the Glorious Pale Ale from Lord Hobo in Massachusetts. And Lord Hobo themselves wrote us a comment on Instagram. Sick throwback Thursday. Still got the same brew. Still love it. And it's getting some new colored packaging soon enough. So I guess they're rolling out a new version of that beer. And it's good when people comment on the throwback beers because, you know, it's good to like look back and get good memories of what the beers were like when just a few years ago, how things change. That becomes clear to me as I look back and, you know, there's new styles and just kind of being able to see like the ones that were popular just even 3 or 4 years ago is it's pretty cool. So if you follow us on social media at Beer of the Day on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, we post a couple of throwback beers each day. Do you hear that, Jeff?
I do.
That's me.
Is that your car alarm?
Yeah. So this is the second time somebody bought a Ferrari or some or a Lamborghini or something in my neighborhood, and every time they drive by, it sets off my truck's car alarm. And it shut off. But that's annoying.
For once, you have the background.
I know. Normally, Jeff in Pasadena has the helicopters and the cars and all the traffic noise and having to have his windows open because it's too humid. But now I got it here. Anyway, thanks for the comment, Lord Hobo. We mentioned Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest earlier, and Sierra Nevada commented on our featuring their Oktoberfest beer. They said, thanks for taking the time to try this year's brew. Glad you'd enjoyed it. Sierra Nevada, let me tell you something. I know not only tried your beer, I tried it at least 36 times. You know, I had the case, I think, before we did the podcast, and then I had the case of the podcast, and I think there's a couple six packs that have been thrown in there too. So it is one of the Oktoberfest beers of the season, just because I love Sierra Nevada beer, and that's a very good version of that beer. Even though it wasn't even my favorite of the beers that you've had the last few years, you know, I guess that's just a testament to the quality that you have to live up to when you always are producing good beer. You always have to kind of compete with yourself, and not a bad effort this year, I have to say.
Yeah, I went to a barbecue last weekend and wanted to pick up a six pack to take over, and I went to this, you know, my local liquor store that has good craft beers, and to my surprise but also delight, the only Oktoberfest beer they had was Sierra Nevada, which was great. So I picked up a six pack, took that over. It was fantastic. Shared it with a few people. It is tried and true classic Oktoberfest beer that we Americans like.
I kind of wish that they had like a nine pack of beer, because when I go to somebody's house, if I bring a six pack of beer, I'm going to drink five of them myself. So I'm like bringing a beer with me, you know? And granted, yes, I'm going to be drinking somebody else's beer, and then they will have my beer, and it's kind of a trade-off. But I always have to bring like two six-packs just because I feel bad.
Two six-packs is the way to go. But if everybody brought a six-pack, I think...
That's right. But that doesn't always happen. I was in Chico today for my grandmother's memorial service, and... afterward, we had a family get together outdoors, and the whole family was there. And being in Chico, my uncle always buys Sierra Nevada beer, and there was pale ale and there was Oktoberfest. And I have to say, you know, I kind of look around and see who's drinking what, and yeah, I think people were liking the Oktoberfest beer. So I think, you know, not huge beer drinkers, but just kind of seeing it out in the wild and seeing what people are going back for the second beer. What do they grab out of the cooler? And that Oktoberfest beer was flying off the shelf there. So good testament.
I think it's more approachable than the regular Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. It's less bitter, which a lot of people like. It's just a smoother beer. And I, you know, we said this before, we grew up drinking Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, but the Oktoberfest is like a smoother, easier drinking version of that.
Yeah, for sure. On the website, beeroftheday.com, Raisin Dog 64 posted on Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest, an annual standard for me, feels like fall. I revel in the flavor each drink. Thanks, Sierra Nevada. Raisin Dog's in Pasadena. Do you know Raisin Dog, Jeff?
I don't. I should find him. We should go hang out and have a beer, Raisin Dog. Maybe we should get together and just drink outside, 6 feet apart.
Yeah, you're in the same town.
Yeah. I'll have to find you, Raisin Dog. Nearby. I'm local.
He's local. He's probably run into you before at some point.
I probably know him. I just don't know his name.
Yeah. He probably goes by something else at the office. All right. Well, if you have any comments, definitely send them our way. You can send them to feedback@beerofthedaycom. You can post them on any page on the website. There's a comment section at the bottom. Post them up there or post them to us on social media. We are at Beer of the Day. Easy to remember, at Beer of the Day, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So send us a comment and we will read them on the next show. I've been trying to acquire a domain name that I accidentally let expire, and I've been on hold with GoDaddy a bunch this week, like three times, and their hold music is the same as our comments music. It's the same exact music, but if you're on hold for like 10-20 minutes, there's other like sections of it where they have the horns coming in, the saxophone, and it like really gets involved. And my version of it for the comments is just the piano, bass, drums, and not much to it. But there's a whole other section of that song that I've never heard before that I'm now familiar with thanks to GoDaddy's on hold music.
GoDaddy, if you want to sponsor us, we are taking donations.
Okay, so let's get into the final beer of the night. Now, this is a special one. This beer came up on Tavor, and it's from Fort Wayne, Indiana, Two Toms Brewing Company. And it's called Petty Hazy IPA. And it has a Fender Telecaster guitar on the front of it. And there's no mistaking that this is a reference to Tom Petty. Petty Hazy IPA from Two Toms Brewing Company. And they write on the can, Petty is a nod to the creativity provided by great music that we pump into our brew house. Citra and Galaxy Hops are the rock stars in this beer, bursting with wonderful aromas of grapefruit, bright orange, and pungent citrus. So it's, I guess it's fitting. It's, as we record this, it's the 10th. So it's just past a week past the third anniversary of Tom's passing. And we're 10 days away from his birthday on October 20th. So it's like the Tom Petty season. You probably have heard, just listening to the music that we play on this show, that Jeff and I are big Tom Petty fans. We got to meet Tom on a couple different occasions, and you know, I don't think he ever gave us express permission to play his music on the show, but you know, I don't think he'd mind too much. Just to give him a plug on tomorrow, as you hear this, this podcast will come out on the 15th. Tomorrow is the 16th, and they are releasing Wildflowers and All the Rest. Wildflowers was his album in 94. Some would say his best work. It was originally meant to be a double album. They recorded a lot of songs with Rick Rubin, who's a famous producer, record producer. They had enough material for the double album, the two discs, But because it was in, he just moved to Warner Brothers, they wanted just a single album, they sell better. And he said, okay, we'll do the single album. So there ended up with a bunch of songs that were left over, and that is all the rest. And they're putting that out tomorrow is when it's released. So we'll give Tom a plug there, and we'll try this beer that was put together in his honor.
And you're right. This is a special beer because the last time that we saw Tom Petty play in concert was in Indianapolis, and this beer is from Indiana. So,
yeah, but we saw him also in Pasadena 2 weeks after that.
Oh, you're right. It was. We've seen Tom Petty many, many times, 20 plus times. And
20 something times, yeah.
Yeah. A couple weeks before he passed away, we were in Indiana, saw him in concert, and this beer's from Indiana. So this was special. When I saw this on Tabor, I wanted to get it. My can is completely like jacked up. I got this in the mail from Tabor. I've never seen a can so damaged in my life from a brewery. I'm not going to let that, you know, hold me back from enjoying the beer. But color wise, it is a little bit more orange and amber colored than most of the beers tonight. It is hazy for sure. Kind of a deep gold, light amber color with a finger of white foamy head.
Look how much head I have.
That's, you're a vigorous pourer with that beer.
I think I poured it with the same vigorosity as the previous beers, but I am drinking it in my Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers pint glass, so I'll show that up there.
That's very nice. So I like the flavor of this. It's, well, let me go back. The aroma is citrus and I would say stone fruit, maybe something like peach or apricot, nectarine, you know, those types of stone fruits. The taste is really nice. It's not sweet, which we've agreed that we don't like the sweet hazy IPAs. Those are no good. But this one is not sweet. On the taste, I get a little bit more citrus, whereas on the nose, I got a little bit more of the stone fruit. I get orange, like tangerine, and grapefruit on the taste.
Yeah, this one, I like the bitterness in this. There's quite a bit of hop bitterness. It kind of reminds me of the first beer we had tonight, where it's kind of a blend of kind of the sweeter, fruity, hazy, and then there's enough of the hop bitterness to kind of give it a West Coast feel too. It's like a hybrid.
Yeah, I agree. There's oats and wheats. It's got like the soft mouthfeel complemented by the bitterness.
And we've had this beer for a while, just trying to figure out a show to fit it into. And so it may be a little bit older than we'd like to have IPAs, but I don't taste any like flavor degradation here or staleness. It still tastes very fresh. I don't think we've lost anything on the quality here.
Yeah, I don't see a date on here, but I'm sure it would have been fantastic when it first came out. We've been holding on to this, like you said. It's still good. It's not bad by any means. I like the combination of the citrus and the stone fruit. It's an enjoyable beer. I'll tell you, this can is something I'm going to rinse out and save in my... I save a few like cans and bottles of special beers that I have, and this one is going on my shelf after this because of the sentiment towards Tom Petty, but it just... You know, it's a cool can to have. I like the artwork, but this is going on the shelf after the show.
Any other final thoughts on this one? It's kind of tough to come up with new things to say when you're drinking four beers of the same style. There's like slight differentiations in them. And this one is kind of right in the middle of the beers we've had tonight. Like, we've had different ends of the spectrum. We have like the kind of the bitter one with the Fort George, like the more traditional IPA. We had the very drinkable lighter one with the all together. The Green City was a little bit just a step up on all those flavors. And this one kind of brings it back down to, you know, more of the bitterness, not quite as fruity, not quite as sweet. So, but all very similar styles. I don't even think we intended for that to happen. I think that's just a statement as to what the styles are for IPAs right now.
Yeah, I think these were like four, you know, special beers for us. I kind of consider this one to be a little bit of the combination of the first two. It has the soft mouthfeel and like the light carbonation of the altogether IPA, but also the bitterness of the Fort George. And it's smooth, it's balanced. This is very drinkable. I mean, I would like to see this brewery release this again, because I'd be happy to pick it up again.
Yeah, I kind of bet they will. So two times I wanted to mention, you think like, oh, it's like two guys named Tom that started a brewery, and that's not the case. It's actually one guy named Tom that started the brewery, and there was so much work to do that he kind of wanted to, he always wanted to clone himself and have two Toms to get the work done. And I kind of think we've all had that kind of feeling before, that if there was two of us, we could get a lot more done. So two Toms, it's just one Tom, but he's doing the work of two. All right, well, I kind of just recapped the beers. Well, why don't you take us through the beers one more time, Jeff? Let us have an idea of what we tried tonight, and then we can figure out what our favorite beer of the day is.
Sure. So we had only four beers tonight, which was great to simplify things a little bit. Sometimes we have too many beers, but so we had four IPAs. But this was a special show because we were, saving all of these beers to have on the same show. The very first one was from Fort George. It was the three-way IPA 2020 version from Astoria, Oregon. After that, we had two beers from Other Half. First, we had the Altogether IPA, and then we had the Green City IPA. Other Half is from Brooklyn, excellent East Coast brewery. And then we just wrapped up with the Two Toms Brewing Company Petty IPA. That's from Fort Wayne, Indiana. All four of these were hazy IPAs, but all a little bit different. Similar, but different.
All right, let's figure out what our favorite beer of the day is. Alexa, flip a coin. Your heads, Jeff.
Flipping. It's heads.
You're first.
So I'm pretty sure Dallas is going to pick the same as me, but I want to say that all of these beers were special. They were excellent. I would love to have all of these super fresh from the brewery. We didn't get to have that, but they're not too old, so they're still all very good. But my favorite was the Green City IPA. That's my beer of the day. I think that was one of the best IPAs that I've had over the last couple of years. 7%, double dry hopped. It's from Brooklyn, New York, from Other Half. Just that whole flavor profile from start to finish was phenomenal. I really liked the carbonation. I liked how it accentuated the hop flavors. But that was a fantastic beer. I can't imagine how great it is right out of the tap. I want to go to Brooklyn to try that super fresh. But all the beers are good. But that one sort of stands out for me as my beer of the day.
I know I kind of gave it away when we were talking about it, but I agree. That's one of the best IPAs I've had, and I can't argue with that. That is just so well balanced, so drinkable, nothing off-putting about it. It's a fantastic beer. Just subtle things, complexities. I don't know. I think you could put a lot of effort into making the beer, and it just tastes like they did. It tastes like they really put a lot of thought into smoothing out every corner of that beer so that it's just perfect. Down to the carbonation, the hops, the sweetness, the malts, the every little piece, the aftertaste, how it sits on your tongue. It's just very well thought out. So great job on that. I've heard about Other Half beers before, and they have a big, very good reputation. But when that happens, you never know if a brewery is going to live up to it, and they certainly do. So definitely good job there, Other Half. All right, well, it's fitting. We'll close it out with this long, extended outro to Here Comes My Girl. We thank you for tuning into the show tonight. Invite you to check out our website, beeroftheday.com, and remind you that we are on social media, @beeroftheday, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and we post the Beer of the Day to those outlets every single day and to the website beeroftheday.com. You can sign up there. We'll even send it to you email or text message each day, every single day. If you have any beers in your local area that you'd like to share with the rest of the beer drinking world, do that. Just go to the website, hit add a beer, and you can post a beer of the day and then share it with everybody else. If you do that, I will send you a Beer of the Day pint glass in the mail. So, a little incentive if you want to take the time to send a Beer of the Day. For Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Elliker. Thanks for listening to the Beer of the Day podcast.